CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center is here to help me with two unexplained phenomena these last days. One, a report in Reuters that the very famous journalist Seymour Hersh has a piece asserting that the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines damaged by explosions in September of 22 were damaged purposely by order of the White House, sabotage. That's one story. The Kremlin is demanding a full investigation. The second story are the balloons of these last days, the balloon over North America and the balloon over South America. We begin with Henry's comments on Cy Hirsch's assertion, and I mention that Seymour Hersh, the journalist, the independent journalist, has great credibility with my generation, the boomers, because once upon a time he brought forth a story that was denied by the Pentagon, denied by the White House, denied by important members of Congress repeatedly. It was the My Lai massacre, and that led to an investigation of all of those players and what did they know and when about the abuse of the Vietnamese people. Seymour Hersh had credibility then. It was hard to accept. That was not my version of how American soldiers conduct themselves, but he was proved completely accurate. So, therefore, when he comes forward with an accusation, allegation, suspicion of conduct by the U.S., and the White House denies it, as they have, and our allies in Europe deny it, as they have, I want to know more. Henry, a very good evening to you. First, your thoughts about Seymour Hersh's story, and then on to the balloon. Good evening to you.
Good evening. I have met with Seymour Hersh once or twice in my capacity working in the Pentagon and afterwards. I think you're absolutely right. This story cannot be ignored because it's written by Seymour Hersh, and he has this credibility with our generation. But I got to tell you, he doesn't always hit his target. And therefore, I would just caution that you want to verify what he's arguing, because I know in two stories that he worked on that I had firsthand knowledge of, he did not get it right. And it was a great story, but it wasn't actually as accurate or true as he laid out. So I think the idea that this can be dismissed is silly. You have to take it seriously. But if you're going to take it seriously, I guess what I would do is try to source it and verify it, because it may be that it's a really good story and maybe it's accurate and maybe it's not. But you're going to have to verify it.
We move to the other story that is incomplete as of yet, which is the story of the balloon over North America and the balloon over South America. We're told linked to Chinese military conduct. However, right away, the Chinese speakers, this would be the foreign ministry, told three falsehoods. One, that the balloon over North America was a meteorological research. Two, that it was civilian. And three, that it was an accident entering U.S. airspace. Three deceptions. What do we need to know about that balloon? What questions are important, Henry?
I think there's a set of questions that have not been raised by either the press or congressional oversight that need attention, and that is, we say it's quite clear that our air sovereignty has been violated. And I'm perfectly prepared to agree with that, by the way. I don't challenge that. But what's troubling is there is no clear definition of how far up our air sovereignty goes. We shot this thing down at 65,000 feet. On the other hand, there are people who argue that space begins at 300 and 27,000 feet approximately. Is our air sovereignty go up that high? There is no treaty or international standard that establishes where our atmosphere ends and our space begins. And it matters a fair amount, because we have recognized, as have the Russians, by practice and arguably in our nuclear arms control treaties, that satellites that orbit are national technical means, is a term of art, and that we allow to occur, and the Chinese have that as well. So the question is, at what point does something over the United States violate our air sovereignty? I don't think people have clearly thought that through, but I can tell you one thing. No senator or congressman is it going to want to not be prepared if, let's say, the Chinese come not at 65 to 100,000 feet with a balloon, but go, let's say, 200,000 feet. We may need to figure out how to detect these things better, and we may need to figure out how to intercept them better. That could be military requirements. I don't know where this story ends.
Henry, it is routine, as an amateur outside, it is routine for aircraft, commercial aircraft, all aircraft, to seek permission to enter the airspace of a sovereign state. That's practiced, and you pay for it, as a matter of fact. There's income on the basis of that. To my knowledge, the Chinese military, which we're told is the author of this program, did not enter American or Canadian space with permission, certainly did not ask permission of Costa Rica, nor of Colombia, nor we can presume of other countries it passed over. That's what I can confirm. That in itself suggests that something's awry here. When you don't ask permission, doesn't that make you a bad actor and you don't get the benefit of doubt about airspace?
Well, it does more than that. The Chinese are a party to an international agreement to make such announcements, and therefore, and they've clearly broken their own rules. Now, they claim that, oh, well, they didn't know, and this was an accident, and, you know, mistakes were made. But when they already looked at this balloon vehicle, they've already reported that it had propellers. So this thing was not unpowered. The idea that it was drifting, you know, fecklessly, I think may be mistaken. And so these things do not add up.
What about the course it took over North America? It entered, we're told, by NORAD. It entered the Aleutian Island airspace, passed over Canada, and entered Montana airspace. And I'm told again, I don't have a map in front of me, that it passed near or over an important ICBM missile base and then passed near or over the STRATCOM headquarters in Nebraska and then passed near or over a B-2 base in Missouri. Accidental beyond belief.
Well, I'm tempted to paraphrase Lenin, who said, this too was no accident. and I'll tell you why. It certainly is convenient militarily, if you want to get very nervous and bite your nails, that they flew through an awful lot of what NORAD normally should be alert to. In other words, we work with the Canadians to detect things flying from the north through Canada. So they learned a great deal about how well we would respond, how quickly we would respond, and how well we might detect things by doing these overflights and taking the path they did. Also, there is real value to loiter over targets in a way that satellites don't have an opportunity. You can pick up and discern certain kinds of signals and transmissions much better. And it's just a law of physics. If you're closer to what you're taking a picture to, you get better resolution. So it's not entirely clear that there wasn't even some advantage to the surveillance capability of these things. But surely they are learning and learned what our level of response would be to intrusions, not only into the United States and over military targets, but through the air defense detection zones of Canada.
The Costa Rica, the other balloon. Costa Rica's foreign ministry said in a statement that the Chinese government recognized that one of its balloons flew over Costa Rica and that China's embassy in San Jose apologized for the incident, is the quote, Henry. China insisted the balloon flown over the U.S. and Costa Rica were primarily used for weather studies. Now, given translation difficulties, I can understand. But these continued deceptions, Henry, to what end? Are they laughing when they put this statement out? Who's the audience for things that can easily be disproved?
Well, us, the chattering class in particular. What are we to make of this? Primarily, well, that's a dodge. So maybe it did have a military mission. But more important, could that be part of the cover? Oh, look, we have lots of balloons, including places that really are not of that much military interest to anybody. So there you go. Come on. So, it's very difficult without knowing more. And, there will be, further discussions, briefings and hearings on this. And we'll learn more. It'll come out from that series of oversight efforts. But my hunch is the Chinese did not entirely have a win-win situation by sending these things. They probably need a public relations firm to work this into anything clearly positive.
Henry Sikorsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Unknowns about Seymour Hersh's story of Nord Stream 1 and 2. Unknowns about the balloon over North America and South America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.